Hello?
Hi, this is Joanne.
Hi.
Who's there?
Yes.
This is Ken.
Yeah.
Peter and Leo, and who else?
This is Mikey.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Peter,
did you get kicked off from this conference too, or maybe you weren't using Skype to dial in?
No. I'm on this conference. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to share some of the implementations allowed multiple. You switch between multiple conferences.
So we have here at Winslow, myself, James McCallis, Joko Diogo, Nicola? Okay. I still don't know how to pronounce my name, so don't feel bad. And I don't know if anyone else is going to be joining us here or online. So I think in the future, and this is my fault, just my bandwidth has been pretty limited. But I was saying to this team earlier that we could maybe use this for a better planned hackathon in the future that, might have sponsors and or prizes. Anyway, so, it's 11, and since you guys are on, I want to make kind of the most of you as a resource and time. So first I want to know if you have any questions what would you like to see or hear so that you feel that you can contribute?
So, Joanne, I don't think Ken is on yet, but I think he's trying to join.
Oh, right. Thank you.
I'm on. Ken is
on. Are you on?
Actually, Mike, you are not on.
I'm on.
Yet.
I'm not on the chat yet. I will be in a moment.
Okay.
But I was wondering if you had a chance to look at Ken's use case ontology, because it looked like you had that was one of the things that you were looking for, and it seemed like it could be a possible fit.
Say that again, Mike.
So in the initial proposal, you were looking, I think, particularly for an ontology of use cases?
We're looking to formalize the use case. I don't know if I would – I haven't really thought of it as an ontology of use cases, but I suppose I could. That was something that when I started to actually think about making this thing real, not just a PowerPoint presentation – it became very clear that the use cases that we've been using and that industry's been using were not in a state that they could be fully utilized for an evaluation. So I suppose we could, that's one way we could start a formalization. It makes perfect sense to think about a use case ontology.
There is one.
Okay, great. Like I said, I haven't gone too far down that path, so this is wonderful.
I mean, I could certainly show you that use case ontology and even the use cases for the OOR are expressed in terms of a use case description ontology. So there's a fully fleshed out example.
Great. So yeah, that would be great. And maybe we could see how well that example maps to the iChoose use case.
Yeah, that would be quite useful.
Okay, so do you put it in the chat box, or do you guys want to get on the chat?
Yeah, okay.
Give me a second to get it in there.
Sure, no problem.
Hi, Joanne. This is Leo. I joined.
Hi, Leo. That's Ken, right? Was that Ken who was talking at the? Okay.
Yes, I was talking.
Okay.
Ken.
Just doing a little voice recognition check. Do you guys cycling through the different hackathons through the day?
I think some of them do.
Yeah, essentially, yes. I mean, Ken actually champions the other hackathon project, HCO4.
Mm-hmm.
So we're breaking off from there to join you here.
Great.
Can you send me a link to the check in the
Yes.
Thanks.
You're welcome. So we're kind of digging that out. Do you have any questions, anybody?
I just put the links in the chat.
Oh, okay, great.
So if you just go there, you'll see.
Should we need to go over the presentation
quickly? Yeah, I mean, do you want us to go over the presentation quickly, or do you think it would be just go through the use case?
No, I just want people to be aware of it, and then you should go ahead and go over what's going to be covered in this project. I'll just act as a consultant right now.
Yeah, I don't. This we have the slides in our Dropbox. I wasn't sure how to upload them. Can we just email them to Peter?
What do you want to email?
There's a web.
Yeah, there's a web desk
slide
server. Can you upload there?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is web dev space created for your project. But feel free to email it to me and I will upload it there. Or I can walk.
I think walk it's trying to figure it out, but it might be just easier to.
Yeah, if you have a lot of things to share during the day, it would be easiest if I just walk you through how to do it. If this is the only piece of that you want to share, or maybe it's just one or two, then emailing it to me and I upload it would be more expedient. Either way.
Yeah, I think we just have this one.
Yeah,
we just have this one.
Then email over and I'll upload and I'll give you the link.
Chat window. And they see if they can.
Nick thinks he uploaded it to the chat window. So, you want to check?
Was it PowerPoint?
Yeah, it's PowerPoint. I see it on my...
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, all right. Give me a moment.
Sure.
If you go ahead and discuss, I'll have the link ready.
Okay.
And I'll...
Yeah, I was actually able to... just click on the link and it downloaded it.
Right.
So,
people,
the web dev would be good for the archive.
Yeah. So you can continue without waiting for this.
Okay. So, so everybody have the slides?
Yeah. Maybe we can walk through them.
Yeah.
This part.
Yeah. So I'm just going to, by way of the introduction, I'm just going to comment that, we often talk about silos in the real world, and I discovered that I had couple silos in my brain. As it turned out, when Peter Hume was asking me to talk to Peter Fox about an ESET use case, and kind of at the last minute, Peter Fox said he wasn't going to be able to do it because it was a volunteer effort and they didn't have the resources. And then I realized, we could use iChoose as a use case. And then things started sort of coming together in my head. So what's interesting is this is two sort of completely independently funded government projects. One is this iChoose project about sustainability and consumer empowerment and some other aspects that these policy guys know better than I do. But I've been consulting on their ontology development for the last year or so. And independently, NIST has funded this work that I started at MITRE that Leo has some familiarity with on an approach to evaluation, a framework that enables intrinsic and extrinsic different types of evaluations to come together for a particular application. And this was motivated by someone who was Leo, remind me Gene's last name. Was it who was working at
Gene?
Yeah.
Was it Gene Stanford?
Stanford, right? I know it's not Gene Stapleton, and Gene Stapleton is from Troy, and Gene Stanford.
Stanford, yeah. She left MITRE.
Okay.
She's involved in healthcare mostly.
Exactly. And she was saying to me way back, she said, what would be really useful is if we could, you know, with all the money that the NIH has invested in.
Hello? Is it me or did we lose Joanne?
I can hear you, Peter, but not Joanne. Yeah.
Joanne, we lost you.
Joanne, you're off the air. Can we tell if her number dropped?
Let me put it on the chat. Yeah, her number dropped. Hello?
Maybe she doesn't see the chat.
There's nowhere, no other way we can tell them. They're on the speakerphone.
Did they have access to email?
I assume so. Yeah, two of them are still on the chat, so let's try to get their attention.
I think chat needs a buzz button of some sort.
Peter, I think I have Joanne Fell. Should I try to call her?
You do? Oh, good.
I think I do.
Joanne is now on 11 times.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
Joanne,
I can hear you now.
You know, I've always wanted to be able to do this. This is why I solved some of my problems.
What a question.
I used to joke and say that I envy Sybil, you know.
Well, who's going to go first?
In order. Good question. Anyway, so what I was saying was there was motivation from the community for this.
Uh-oh.
Had she been on Skype?
I don't know. I now she's not there, so I can't tell what she did before.
Hi there, I'm calling from my cell phone now.
Ah, great. Okay, we can hear you.
Good. So what I was saying was that I was just sort of giving the motivation, which was that at a breakfast with Mark Newsom and Lynette and myself, Mark and I were commiserating about differences of opinion in the way oncology that developed or that instantiated him. And when I was so struggling for a better way, and I said, you know, it'd be great if we had, you know, objective criteria. And then when I said, you know, that's a great thing to sort of work on from the MITRE perspective, and that's how I got started in this. And then Liz held a oncology evaluation workshop for 2 days that, you know, was all above my head because I was just brand into it. But it was a good introduction to the state of chaos. Which, you know, I'm happy to see is starting to come together. But anyway, so this was a way to kind of, this approach was, how do you put this all together, and give a home in some sense to the intrinsic, extrinsic, and outside criteria, like certain, you know, standards like ISO or, NIL or whatever that have to be met. So this approach is looked like it had promised to not just facilitate evaluation, but also to facilitate incremental development. And so, coming back to the future now, coming back to the present and some future, I realized when we started looking at using iTunes for the ontology from a use case, it gave me an opportunity to break down a silo in my head and start using it as a way to incrementally develop and evaluate incrementally our ontology for iTunes. And that, of course, is pushing the development and formalization of the use cases as well as the framework. And what I realized last week was that we have been using a software methodology here at RPI, which is in the slide, that at the heart of it is evaluation of every step we cycle through, and then I realized that this is actually, this depth approach is actually a step towards formalizing that process because we're using it basically in all the stages of the life cycle. So it's not very exciting. And these two completely independently funded projects, one by NIST and one by NSF, are not feeding off of each other now, but feeding each other. Coupled with the semantic web methodology approach that we use here. So it's all coming together in a very nice way. So that's my brief introduction. Sorry about that. You've received a lot of interruptions. But can you hear me okay now?
Yes, yes.
Yes, you're fine now.
Okay. Any questions with that part?
No. No. Go ahead. We heard that. Well. So maybe you can tell us what you want to achieve today in one day. First of all, what is your plan and when do you start today? Do you have
Well, we're starting now. So what we have done some we have the slides and we've thought about what we'd like to accomplish today.
Mm-hmm.
Our work sphere is being realized that it would be just us working. We don't have a very big team. And actually the team is primarily focused on the I choose ontology development. So two on that and two on death. So we, depending on who showed up, we were going to work on different things and aim to make progress on any progress that is progress. One of the things I know that's on the minds of the I-Choose consultants is to get some assistance with modeling. We can go, you want to go through the presentation? We have control of what we'd like to work on today.
Yeah,
we can. So, yeah. So we'll quickly go through the slides and if you want us to stop, we're looking at the slides, so do you want us to just go what we want to focus on today or do you want us to take us through this at all?
You drive the progress. Yeah. So your call.
Well, the part of the project that we're in right now is basically to bring the expert panel up to speed on what your objectives are for the day. And then there will be a period of time when the experts will be available then for, I guess, an hour to act as consultants to the members of your team. But then the members of the expert panel will have to go off to different, to other tasks that we're involved in.
Okay, great. All right.
So if you could just bring us up to speed on what your objectives are, that'd be great. And then, then we can spend time working with you, to act, as I say, as a panel.
Okay. I'm just opening the slides myself as a bit. I don't know what my ambition looks like. So we've got multiple directions going on here. One is, so now I'm looking at slide one and I'm just going to run through these quickly. Because part of what I want to do is know where you think you can help. And there's the help kind of in the call and, you know, at this moment when you're available. And there's the help in terms of making connections, you know, providing us with others that would be interested in collaborating, you know, any ways that you can think of helping. If you look at the outline slide, that really is the focus of what we're talking on. So the stress evaluation methodology, which we envision implementing into a SADI service, we don't have SADI expertise. We're trying to get connected with the SADI group and looking for volunteers who have expertise, or ultimately writing a proposal and getting support for someone. Great. And then there's the I Choose project, which is focusing on sustainability certification and using that as an exemplar, or using coffee certification as an exemplar for other certifications. And it's primarily it's currently now in organic USDA organic and fair trade and that's not my area, but that's the ontology there is driving interoperability and modular designs for sustainable development. As you asked about earlier, using developing further, and I'll look at Ken's, I don't want to point it to the use case ontology, and hopefully that will be able to utilize that in developing what we need further for evaluation criteria.
Do you have a I Choose ontology at this point, or is that?
Yes.
You do. Okay.
Can we see the link? Do we have it anywhere that it's
available? No, not at the moment. And it's not also developed to any great extent. It's kind of just.
But that's where we have the experts here.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's a good thing to bring up. So you can upload it also.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've just only started to encode the ontology, and then actually, we've not really stopped it, but we've realized that we're going to do it in this deaf approach, so encoding individual modules at a time, because it allows us to independently develop and validate the ontology as we go. So we started our ontology modeling after another project here at RPI, a semantic water quality portal, which grew out of a class project. One of the students, and we've used on this. Is that working? My phone just to the call. So we had an existing project that looked at regulation data from EPA and monitoring data from USGS, and it started with one state, the state of Rhode Island, and then the next semester data from four states are brought together, and then over the summer, all 50 states are brought together. And so you type in a zip code, and you can see what the regulations are for that area, and if there are any polluting facilities there. And you could look at different chemicals, and we've added in health data, and that sort of thing. But I realized that model, that framework that you know, here, was actually a good place to start in terms of the approach for this inspection and certification, because the inspection process is analogous to the USGS monitoring, and the regulation is similar to the certification body. So that's, we started developing based on that, and then now we're changing our development slightly to follow the JEF framework and do it incrementally. and just focus on one one aspect, child labor. So one aspect of one particular of one certification body. It's a fair trade child labor criteria. So has the ontology been brought up?
This is part of the lower level ontology of the evaluation.
Right.
Of the standard and evaluation.
So is everyone able to see that?
Yes, it is, yeah. But I didn't make all the kind of change necessary outside of Fiduge. That
we discussed, yeah, so it's not up to date. But
it may not be up to date, but it's also, it doesn't have all the elements, you know, the RDF requirements that it probably needed for.
Well, that's because of the
study and all the ontology we needed there. So, studying statement of importance.
Is it enough that we can discuss it?
It's enough.
Do you have some questions about how things are legally modeled?
Right. Well, and that's the issue, right? It's developing this ontology and it's developing just. So,
that's two separate things.
Right. And we should
focus on the I choose ontology right now.
Okay.
Right, we're shifting focus to the I choose ontology. The reason is what you're seeing is here, the ontology experts are here. We don't need community experts, and we haven't looked at the use case ontology yet.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think it's good to focus on the I choose ontology. So who was the one? I didn't hear who asked about the ontology.
That was me. So I'm actually looking at it right now, although it looks like my system is miling up. So.
Is that Mike?
Yes,
Okay. So I know your voices pretty well, actually, because I know you all pretty well. I'm happy about that, actually. But my team doesn't know, so if any speak, if you don't mind letting them get to know your voices, that would be helpful.
Sure, thank you.
So one more thing, so it's in the early stages of development, which I think is a good thing, in particular, with alignment with the summit, you know, I told you to the life cycle, I think it's lovely that it's in an early stage. And also we're excited about building evaluation in throughout the whole life cycle process. So,
I think I could give an introduction of what the rationale is for doing this.
That's Nick.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I'm just introducing your voice to say yes, that they don't know you.
Right.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Hi, this is Nick. More part of the I Choose team and working on the I Choose ontology. And I uploaded the ontology there, and I see that actually was put in a web link. Should I give a rationale behind what the elements are and why they're there?
Sure.
Would that make sense to go through that?
Yeah,
good for it. Okay. So this is, what we would call a lower level ontology of a criteria evaluation or an inspection. So it refers to the time an individual goes into evaluate a production process, such as the coffee production process, for a number of criteria. And we limited the criteria here to labor conditions, and we tried only to put some, just the property that first of the child labor and child protection. Like you see there, there's other things that they don't have property. But, so, the most basic element here is the evaluation of a particular criterion itself, the lowest class. And the evaluation of a criterion has well, different characteristics and different properties. And I guess we have questions on how to model, how to best model this. Once again, this is based on the semantical ontology of identifying a polluted site. And in that ontology, different standards have different ontologies, and the different standards can be applied to different elements being evaluated. And
so we're just focusing right now on the child labor, right?
Right.
So let's take that specific example.
Okay.
And the criteria, and discuss the questions that you have about modeling it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, so the questions I have are kind of, well, some of them are simple. Some of the questions I have about modeling this are can maybe kind of very basic, because people working here are, at least on this side, we're not ontologists on the IQ side. But for example, every evaluation has a particular characteristic about it, such as the applicability of the evaluation for the particular production process. And that's one question. We don't know how to include, or I haven't included that in, how to determine if the the production process is if the evaluation is applicable at a certain time. So I'm not sure how to model that characteristic in. For example, some evaluation criteria, for example, evaluation of children below 15 in the ontology, they're under child labor and child protection. That criteria may not be applicable for the production of shrimp and the production of shrimp, let's say. So I'm not sure how to model that in. How do you, like, restrict that one evaluation just for a particular product? Other questions are regarding, for example, some evaluations have different types, which means that they are either very important or they are less important for the ultimate certification. So should I use, for example, a value partition as I do in this ontology here, or should I use like a data property assertion? If you see, I also included the instances, some instances in the individuals here, in the list of individuals. And maybe, you know, that this kind of criteria type may be a model as a data property assertion. I'm not sure. There's also the question, there's this, you know, some characteristics, some properties are integral to the evaluation. All these properties I have mentioned, such as applicability, is it applicable for the product? Criteria type, is it core criteria, or is it just a development criteria that's undertaken over a later time? These are integral. You think they're following? There's so many things to stop and.
Yes, and questions, thoughts.
Sort of technical knit question. This is Mike. I was wondering what you developed this in or what you recommended doing. It seems like it hangs up Protégé 4.2 and it For me, it loads in 3.4.8, but has a lot of warnings.
I'm using
4.1,
so. I'm surprised that we have problems, because I didn't think we could develop good enough to.
Yeah, I downloaded it using Safari. Occasionally I get some weirdness using Safari. Maybe I should try it with Firefox.
Oh.
Because I'm surprised it's having trouble as well.
Hmm.
Are other folks able to load it into tools? Okay, I'll continue offline. So why don't you?
Mike, I'm just
going to
email you to see if this makes a difference.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
I didn't hear all that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just sent a few email. Maybe that will help.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah. And maybe mothers have to be a teacher. I'm afraid they need to be trained with this without the background.
You need to say something, but what you've got to think is at the right level.
Okay.
And was it clear what, I think it was pretty clear what Nick was describing.
So, Joanne?
Yes?
Unfortunately, the copy that you sent me an email and the one that I downloaded are checksum identical.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. You can certainly look at the ontology using just a text editor.
Yeah, I've got that as well.
Maybe you can save it as a different type of file. Save it as.
Well, does that make sense to save it as something else, Mike?
Possible. You could try Turtle. If it's just a parser issue I basically had to force quit the project, the latest release protege 4.2.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it a couple times.
Yeah, I tried 4.1. I have three versions of protege, and it threw a bunch of syntax errors.
Leo said that he
gets
syntax errors.
Well, there probably are syntax errors.
Oh. Can I make a few comments?
Yeah,
I can certainly look at the ontology and see what your intentions, kind of what your intentions are. But I realize you do need to specify what your purpose, in the form of use cases, in order to be able to give an evaluation of whether this serves, to fulfill that purpose. So I really do see why, you're so interested in coming up with this kind of evaluation framework. Do you have a statement of what the purpose is? I mean, have you started to come up with our use cases?
In the slides, there is something to that. We were talking about formalizing that, working on today. Because, as I said, when we were doing it, when we started doing this, we were modeling it after the Semantico, right, which wasn't developed with what's the use of it in mind. And then when I brought these two projects together, we started to ask that question. And we have started to talk about that, and that's in one of the slides. I can tell you what slide. It's slide 7, functional?
Well, slide 11 actually has your vision.
Right. So that I started to do it there, and then 11 is the vision
11.
Of I. That's the vision of I choose.
There's a use case on 13 because it was very wordy.
Yeah, wait, I worked on this, hold on.
And then you have one use case in 13.
If you look at slide 17.
17 is. Yeah, I see one use case and I see a vision.
Yeah, and also in the new part of slide 13, as I said, we just started to start to use this language to talk about this ontology, so we haven't gotten that far with it. This is my next question to the group, is like, okay, let's define what the function of this is. Which I started to type in the notes part of 13 and on the editing a little bit of the slide 17.
Yeah, so I think there are a number of you need to identify the various actors that are involved in this. In the case of your use case, you mentioned a consumer, but I would presume there would be other kinds of actors as well. Do you see this as primarily for consumers, or would it be also used by, say, regulatory agencies, by the producers?
Well, I think there are a number of different stakeholders that could use this in different use cases. So there's consumers, there's consumer advocates, there's standard bodies, the inspectors.
I would think the producers want to have a role in this as well.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, yes. Yeah.
There is more than one sector involved in one certification process. So consumer is only part of it. And I guess we just mentioned several other actors that will be involved. And a major actor will be involved in there is the inspector and certification agent.
So, once you've actually specified who the actors are in a number of use cases, I think at that point, one could certainly start evaluating whether your ontology, you know, is appropriate for those use cases. So what would you like us to do today? I mean, would you like us actually to work on developing use cases, or are you have some other objective in mind to finish the next hour?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, 12 minutes left of your time. So where do you think you could be most useful?
Oh, actually, we're 2 hours.
We know we have a lot of work to do.
We have more than 12
minutes. It's more than 12 minutes. It's an hour and 12 minutes.
55 minutes.
Sorry, 55 minutes.
Leo has 12 minutes, so we should.
Leo has
to. Yeah, Leo has to leave after the first hour.
We should definitely look at what Leo can contribute right at this point.
Right.
Do you have any comments, Leo?
Let's see. Hold on 1 second. I'm still reconnecting again. I've got two computers here going. I see that your potential evaluation metrics, I guess slide 20, are these the things that you want to apply to this ontology? And if so, I mean, I don't see use cases per se here, except insofar as they're like child work criteria is a use case under completeness.
Right, so this is again, so all this stuff is kind of, you know, being literally developed. Every time we present the slides, we update them. This is where I think you guys can contribute a lot, because what I envision in this suite of So some of the actually go to slide go to slide 19. Let me see if it's depicted as well.
Yeah, okay. The focus here is over on the contextualized ontology evaluation.
What you were just questioning is the part that's the contextualized ontology evaluation. But there's still all those intrinsic and extrinsic evaluation criteria that get inserted into the framework, ready to be called, as I envision it down the road as a state service, that will do the intrinsic evaluation outside of the contextualized part. So in the middle part, which is functions, standards, and components, this is an actual, when this was first drawn, it made more sense to me, but,
So the context-free ontology evaluation is a part of, gets inserted, I guess that's the intrinsic.
Yes.
Is done with respect then to contextualized evaluation?
Exactly. So the intrinsic, so the combination of the intrinsic and extrinsic define which of the, which ontology evaluation components, so which of the evaluation criteria components to actually, not the use case, but the evaluation. So the context free ones or the intrinsic ones, they don't need a context, but they get pulled in part of the evaluation process as needed, as selected kind of by the user. So for example, if someone, I'm just going to be very sort of, loose in my description here, but if they're just looking for a hierarchical level and they don't need reasoning, then you won't need to check, whether there's logical consistency or not.
Right. Okay. So you're motivated by the extrinsic, if you will, the as to which intrinsic criteria you choose to evaluate?
I'm motivated by the combination. So the combination, dictates, on some level, I haven't talked about this at all either, but I sort of see some assessment of what the complexity is needed, up front when you're designing the use case, what level of complexity do you need? Do you need to use reasoning in it, or is it just simple hierarchical that, that you can do with a tree structure?
So let's assume that you don't need the reasoning, so all you need is basically a subclass taxonomy. You would evaluate that with respect to what criteria, like whether in terms of correctness, I guess just that, it doesn't cause any errors.
If you didn't have multiple inheritance is a deal about it. You can't have two parents.
Okay. And you may want to rule that out. Is that what you're saying?
Right. In a simple case, yeah.
Okay. And, let's see. And then the right terms used. So I guess you're looking with respect to whatever your standards are or your on the empirical side, what the certification process calls out as being necessary.
Yeah. You might say, oh well, I've got to catalog all these trees, and you might have found a tree ontology, and then when you look closely, you find out that it's only got deciduous trees, and you need to classify deciduous and conifers. So you'll have half of the terms, essentially, assuming that those two different types of three categories have the same number of terms in them. So you have at least a
rough characterization of the domains, meaning, you know, what we require here are things such as the certification law or standards, but also the components such as the range of coffee and the values of the coffee,
yes.
Whatever they are, and I guess the agricultural arrangements, so whether it's a possibly, I don't know, whether it's a large company farm or a local, organic indigenous farm.
Yeah, right. And Romeo, you can think of the standard as something like milk spec. You know, you might be able to reuse the same nuts and bolts in a truck as you would, you know, in a Jeep or a plane if they meet the spec.
Okay, so you're at this point. I mean, you're looking at least the rough characterization of all the information that you think you need, but in a sense, without respect to the use cases yet.
You know, when you're down at the component level, you're selecting components that you need to fulfill the function that meet the standard.
You're trying this. We're focusing now on the framework to be generalized, right? So not just.
I don't know if that was clear, Neil, what I just said.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get a handle on that because it seems that, you know, even if you have if you've limited it to just the taxonomy. And just a tree, that you have to gauge whether the tree consists of at least a placeholder for all the things that you're going to need within your eventual ontology. So however that's going to be structured, for intrinsic evaluation, initial intrinsic evaluation, you would just want to see that it's well formed, but then also make sure that perhaps, even though it's not elaborated yet, that you have all the primary domain components.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
There's really not much to work with in terms of intrinsic, criteria. Until you have more, and then you, what you can do is you can look at given these primary components, are they all relatively equally well specified at the same level of granularity? So it's more like you can do things such as evaluate the bushiness and the average density. Using intrinsic methods of your ontology, that's not necessarily a good gauge of how you're going to satisfy your use cases, but at least it's you can gauge in terms of the counts and the connectivity that your ontology represents. If you have properties, you can gauge things such as, do I have a relative similar number of properties with respect to my major classes? Do I have, some data properties that really should be object properties? I mean, just looking at an OWL framework. Or vice versa. Do I have these properties? First of all, do I need inverses? You may not need inverses, in which case you don't necessarily have to have those. But you know, those are kind of like structural, intrinsic, criteria that you could use to evaluate the ontology.
Now, so my next question is, and I have to go, but it would be really nice if we create a standard library for these different types of metrics that we could then call as needed.
Yeah, to some extent, I think folks like the OOPS group and others are hoping to be able to, you know, call upon a library of these qualities or these properties that you could then evaluate and you could pick and choose. So I think that some groups are moving in that direction.
Okay, great. I'm hoping that we can use a SADI framework to get everybody on the same in the same web service type domain.
And then on the extrinsic side, sorry, you're getting into more of the domain and the extended domain requirements and the application requirements. So, for example, you could have the same domain, but maybe want and expect to have, you know, two or three different applications, in which case those different applications originate in perhaps different use cases, but maybe not. Maybe one is more like a display, for example, of or navigation and display for end users. Another application may be, you know, for accreditors who want to actually look at instances of possibly these, you know, whatever instances you capture that with respect to a particular product or a particular set of farms that in theory are meet the certification. So you can imagine that the extrinsic evaluation criteria then are, you know, you may be working exactly with the same domain, but the applications may impose other requirements, such as, for example, you may not want to expose for one particular application the raw ontology, but you may want to map into a vocabulary for that application audience. In which case, that would be something that, you know, it's a kind of a far extrinsic set of criteria that you would want to evaluate.
I'm not sure I got that last point, but I'm also on sensitive to your time too.
Yeah, I'm just trying to force everything through real quickly here, so. But, you know, so, but anyways, the way we're thinking, some of us are thinking about intrinsic and extrinsic evaluation criteria is that, you know, you go from very simple, countable, easily automated intrinsic notions such as, you know, graph theoretic properties, averages, to things such as, you know, whether the ontology is sound, whether it's complete in a logical sense, and you know the properties such as I mentioned, you know, average number of classes and the classes with the average number of properties associated with those class clusters. So those countable things. But then you also go into, you know, at least the early parts of the domain analysis where you look at the components that you want to model, but you do it in terms of maybe using ontological analysis. You know, I have this thing as a subclass of this parent class, but it's really wrong, let's say, because OntoClean says that, you know, you have a temporary or dynamic class underneath a static or rigid class, and therefore that's not good, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And then you extend more into extrinsic, you're beginning to look at things such as, well, you know, am I satisfying the competency questions that originated from my use cases? Can, you know, as judged by domain experts, for example, so think of those as queries that you would ask, and then get answers that respond to appropriately in the, at the right level of granularity. And then you continue across the or farther into extrinsic, more towards the extreme, you're getting into application requirements, in which case you may have multiple applications that have to be satisfied, perhaps by even the same ontology, in which case you look at the functions that those applications require of the ontology, some of which then may get into things beyond the ontology, such as, for example, a need for a vocabulary that links to the ontology for this particular application.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So those kinds of issues.
Okay. Yeah. We've got to work it out.
Pardon?
We did our work cut out for us. I think you understand where we're, you know, the process that we're talking about, and I appreciate the filling in of the details about the different types of the, because I haven't been looking at the different types of evaluations, so it was nice to have your overview with the details of what goes where in terms of evaluation and the process. Leo, thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, good luck, too.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah.
So, you mentioned...
Peter, is this recorded, too?
I have the recording running, but I have no plans to upload it.
Okay, because it might be, you know, it might be useful to just be able to, for us. You know, I don't mind if you upload it, but I don't want to lose it if you've got it, because I think we could benefit from revisiting it at different times during our process when those things come up.
Sure. So I will at the least, it's actually a lot of effort post-processing recordings. So, but I will at least send a raw, version of that to the share so that, and give you the link to it. But I would strongly encourage that, someone, I mean, in your group starts typing in the key points on the chat transcript. Because the chat transcript definitely would be.
I think we've been taking notes. We've been taking notes in the saddle, not in the chat.
Not in the chat.
Oh, all right. Well, so, you know what? Cut and paste them after into the chat.
Mm.
Yeah, Nick's been taking notes. At least Nick. And Joker's been taking them by hand and. Yeah. But we might not have, you know, gotten everything, and it would be helpful to have that resource. Okay. So any questions about what Leo said?
Yeah. No, I think I understood correctly. I mean, I understood, I imagine I may have understood what he was trying to say. And it's interesting that he pointed out that, you know, at the end when you're doing extrinsic evaluations, you have, well, what you need to do is you have a domain expert and you bring him and to look at it. But, you know, I guess the point here is to try to get formalization of this evaluation so you don't have the necessity for this individual to come and look at it and, you know, by his
by his soul's expertise, decide on the completeness and the correctness and the utility of the ontology.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and also we have the domain expertise up front as well. And the development stage. Right? So that we are putting what we I just said it's not just at the end, but we have the domain experts at the beginning of the process.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
I can see
right.
Ken's hand up.
Okay. Somebody wants to speak?
Yes.
Hi.
The I put a posting up in the chat room with a link to the use case description ontology. Much earlier in the chat. I'd be happy to go over that with you.
Oh,
I don't think you've seen that before.
Should we? I think that would be good.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yes.
And also, you have, the question that you asked earlier about how to model something, did that get answered?
I think maybe we need to, you know, talk among ourselves first, actually, about that, because we may have to step backwards.
I mean, I can certainly go over what this ontology does. I mean, what it's
called. Please do.
Okay. If you go to that page, you'll see a UML diagram for the use case description ontology. So I don't know if everyone can see that.
Wait, I'm not looking at
that. Tell us what to click on. That's the page that ends in XML, right?
No, actually, it's this page. Just a moment.
Not that one.
What is that? Here we go.
That's the only one you provided.
Yeah, okay, that's the page.
What page?
It's the one that ends with ontology slash.
I think I posted it.
Right.
Okay.
And you just posted it, that's the page. So you see the UML diagram there.
What are we looking for?
The UML diagram on that page?
I just posted on the chat window, the link.
Yeah. Would Joanne, do you see it?
I don't know what's not coming up for me, but
maybe that's
all right. Got it. Well, no, one machine is not doing something up to date, but I've got it. I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay. So the on the upper right, you see that one can have actors, and in fact, one can have a hierarchy of actors. That's the kind of and specific link there. Then there's system. I distinguish between the system and the actors, because the idea of a use case is that you're looking at some system, some artifact, kind of from the outside, so it's extrinsic in your sense of the term. It's what the system is supposed to do. So the system itself is a participant, but it's not an actor because it's not outside. The system is not outside itself. Anyway, but actors in the system are the participants that participate in any use case. And so you see they're both subclasses of participant. And if you follow that long link going down, step initiator all the way down to the bottom where it's step. The idea is that each step in a use case, in the use case description, is initiated by one participant. So there's a So this is the participant that does something in that step. But a use case is actually a series of steps. If you look above at use case there in the middle of the diagram, the use case consists of a sequence of steps. Each step has a precondition and a postcondition. The use case has a precondition and postcondition. And the series of steps is determined by, a use case is a subclass of flow, and that's over on the lower right. And a flow has a first step, and then each step has a next step. Now, I think in one of your slides, you actually showed first, next. And that's exactly what you have here. The first step in the flow, and then that, of course, is initiated by a participant. It has a specification, and then it specifies the next step. Okay, now what sort of complicates use cases is that you can have exceptions and that you can also have alternative flows. And that means that a use case flow can contain other use case flows as alternatives. Now if you go to the link just below the UML diagram, it says Open Ontology Repository Use Cases. You can then see what this actually looks like in practice. So if you go to that link.
Which link?
You know, the one at the bottom that brings us to the RDF towel?
There's one that,
Can you need one more time the difference between actor and participant?
The only difference is that the system is a participant. So it's a participant is actor plus system. Union of action.
An action by the system?
So the system itself can initiate a step, but is not an actor. So we had to introduce another notion of a participant to be what is the initiator of each step. I could put a little link here to the example is this. Now that's the example, and if you go to that page, it says Open Ontology Repository version 02, and you see the right at the top you have the system properties. Okay, I mean, if you change XML in that link to OWL, I think it is, or RDF, let me see. There's another link on that page where if you change it to OWL, you'll see the actual raw OWL for this example. You probably don't want to look at that. But I should mention that the two pages, the one with XML, with the XML extension and the one with the OWL extension, those two files are identical. Except that one uses a cascading style sheet and the other doesn't.
Identical, is that?
Which style sheet?
If you go to that link with the .xml link I just put into the chat.
Yep.
If you change .xml to .owl, you'll see the owl. But those two files are the same.
Yeah, you said the difference is that the browser, when it looks at the
one of them is the file sheet to make it easy to look at.
Right.
You're looking at an OWL ontology when you look at the XML file. You're actually looking at something that's OWL compliant. But anyway, so you see
that's
the
nice.
System and the pastors. You can see the actors and a little bit further down on that XML file, you see the use cases. So for example, there's a credit registration authority. And you'll see the step-by-step description each step begins with a participant. So in this case, it begins with the user. And then OOR is the system. And then a creditor back to the system and then finally to the user. So can you see that example? There are lots of examples in there that show you how you specify step by step one of the use cases.
Can you
see that? I mean, it's just farther down on the page. For this, of that link that I just gave you.
I'm sorry, what are we looking at? We're on a page?
This
Okay.
But I say the example is, and you'll see the,
We're looking at system actors?
System and actors.
Right.
And then you'll go below system actors, just a little further down, you'll see use cases.
Okay, yep.
There are the use cases. So you can see the first one is a credit registration authority.
That looks like it would be useful for our use case.
Yeah. Incidentally, most of these use cases were derived from ISO 11179.
Oh.
So this OOR was derived from that international standard. But I don't, you might be interested in some of those use cases. You could use them.
Yeah.
If you look at steward registration, that shows an example where a flow contains another flow. So there's the includes. If you click on the link, it'll take you to the included use case. So one use case can include another use case.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that turns out to be quite handy.
So which one am I linking on? Which did you want me to?
If you go to steward registration.
You mean where I click on includes query authorities?
Yeah. Click on the query authorities and you will see the included use case.
Okay. Well,
one could also have alternative flows, and there is an example of an alternative flow. There it's upload administered item version. That's a bit further down in the use cases. And it has an alternative. So, anyway, the point is there's this ontology that you can use to formalize your use cases. And what would be really interesting would be to use this formal, to have a tool that could take this formal specification of use cases and evaluate whether an artifact such as software or another ontology actually satisfies the use cases.
Yeah, I agree. Now just say a little bit, I hear it at one level, I need to hear it at a deeper level.
On a what?
Deeper level. I need you to say it a few times and
okay. The So in this case, you have these use case, this use case descriptions. You know, what do you then use those use case descriptions for? You know, how could you actually use them for evaluation? The original purpose that we had for it was for software. So this would be used with UML collaboration diagrams. So in UML collaboration diagram, you have a specification of the various classes that you have in your system as, you know, when you're designing it, and then how you actually implement some particular task in the using these classes and these methods of the classes. So the idea would be to take the use case description and actually map it to collaboration diagrams to show that indeed you have classes that will implement these use cases. So the same sort of thing could be done here. In your case, you have a particular use case for evaluating some source, you know, to make sure that they comply with, you know, some criterion like, you're not using child labor. So you would take the use case and then you would take the, your ontology and you would actually see if you can map the use case to the classes and the properties that you have in your ontology. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. This is exactly what I've learned. You did it, which is great.
Well, I built the ontology. I didn't build the tool that would evaluate.
No. Right. You didn't build the tool. But this is definitely the step, the direction that we're needed to go in order to bridge that gap, right? So what you've done here is you've done a step that we were talking about doing, which is great, which was to formalize the use case scenario so that it had the information in it that could then be used by a tool to do the evaluation.
That's it. Yeah. I think it was one of your slides, actually. You said something to that effect. Which was that? Slide 10, you said methodology for formalizing use cases still needed. Well, there it is.
Wonderful. Progress. So now we have to figure out a way to, this tool, again, I see it potentially as a web service that would be built in a Stating framework. Have you had a chance to look at the Stating structure yet?
I'm not familiar with Sadie. I've looked at it, but I can't say I have any real familiarity with it.
Okay. Might be a take home for you.
Yes, I think so. I
think you'll like it.
Yeah, it does look quite interesting. Who's doing this? Who's developing this? Let's see.
It really was Mark Wilkinson's brainchild. And the other PIs on it now are also Chris Baker and Michelle DeMontier. Do you know them?
Since Joanne, since you're such a fan of this work, weren't you able to get them to come or join your project, some of them?
Not yet. So part of it was my fault. I didn't realize that initially. I didn't appreciate that the hackathon was A, virtual, and B, now, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about it, Because in my mind, I had been out of the loop and envisioned that this was in May. So so I only started asking them in the last couple of days. And I'm working with Mark on another project, and I know he was on vacation. So Michelle was unable to come, and I think Chris is also busy with other things. So I just got early in the morning this morning at about 7 a.m. when I checked my email. Mark had sent me the list, the mailing list for the Sadie developers, which I hadn't had before. So I didn't really have enough notice. So one of the things I said to my team before we got online was that we might use this as a prototype, if you will, for doing another hackathon session later on where we could really plan ahead and get some significant resources, maybe some sponsorship or possibly some, you know, sponsorship for prizes so that we could get people really building some of this out, or propose it in a workshop proposal to NSF or something, you know. So anyway, so, because we didn't really feel like we had a lot of time to get all of what we needed to get together for this.
Sounds good.
One thing I might mention, Peter?
Go ahead.
Did I interrupt you?
No.
Regarding Sadie, I noticed that they're using RESTful.
So I don't know what
that is. HTTP post and GET.
So you say web service description language? I don't know what you said. I can't understand.
No. Sadie? I looked at the Sadie site.
Oh, yeah.
And they're using what's called RESTful services?
RESTful, yes, of course, yeah.
RESTful? I do have a tool called SoapRest that allows you to do both soap and rest at the same time with the same service. So, you can develop your service using, say, WSDL, but then it can be available using REST.
Okay.
As well as SOAP at the same time, same server. If you look at what people do now, you have to be either SOAP or REST. It's almost impossible to do both at the same time. But I developed a tool where you can do both.
Cool. And they can give us this use case tool, too.
I can give you the package. It's just a software package.
Yeah. No, this is great, Ken.
But that may be something that the Sadie people might be interested in. Because, you know, there is this issue of whether you want to do it with SOAP or REST, and now you really don't have to decide. Right. It's called SoapRest.
It's called what?
SoapRest.
SoapRest?
Yeah, SoapRest.
I like that. Very descriptive.
Yeah, SoapRest.
Excellent.
That's openly available. It's open source and everything. But I'm just starting to get it advertised right now. Anyway, so has that been helpful? You now have a better understanding of the use case description ontology?
Yes, I think it's very helpful. I appreciate the focused tutorial and guidance. I think both of the things that you just mentioned, that's good. Well, we need for the tool, the use case ontology and this SoapRest are three things that we can definitely make use of.
Okay, and I'd be happy to you know, do what I can to help you with the developing this, but you know, with this evaluation tool. I was very interested in doing that, but didn't have any support at the time.
Yeah, so I'm definitely wanting to take you up on that. So what what do you propose? How can you help, or how can you help us get resources to?
Well, maybe we should take this offline because that's something you can do on a hackathon.
Right. Actually,
can I have something to write?
Absolutely could. Absolutely. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to be leaving this expert panel pretty soon to go back to another.
Right, I know. No, thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah, Mike.
This is great. Thank you.
And I have to leave.
Does anyone else on the expert panel want to come in on this at this point? So I think I'm finished with my part.
Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you. Can I post the notes on?
Yeah, you really should just cut and paste them in there, and then just keep typing in there. Mike, can you just here for a few more minutes, and Peter, right?
Yes. So I don't know if I have any more direct comments. I was spending a little time in the background kind of trying to figure out maybe why things weren't loading into Protege 4, but I haven't figured out what the problem is yet. So.
I can't decide whether that's a good use of expert time or not so good use of expert time.
Well, I don't know. It's,
channel would be great.
In general, 4 is a lot more reliable. In 3, it often was kind of upset with things that it didn't generate.
I didn't use 4 that much. I happen to be, actually, I was in a really prime spot when I was really using 4 heavily. It was in Alan Richter's outside office next to Matthew Harge when he was writing it. So I could get things fixed right away if I moaned loud enough.
Right. So, you know, I kind of tried commenting out the portions that I thought were maybe problematic, and that didn't do it. I've tried kind of at this point adding almost, you know, starting with nothing and adding almost everything back, and it's still working, which is kind of bizarre. Although I should try, I guess, doing it from a cold start rather than from than just reloading. So, yeah.
Protege.
Pardon me?
Were you talking about the ontology of Protege?
With loading portions, subsets of the ontology in Protege.
Okay.
Right.
Unfortunate, but appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you say, it may or may not be the best use of the time, but I thought it would, you're having a good discussion with the other folks, so I didn't feel too guilty about that.
I can imagine myself doing exactly the same thing, Mike. unfortunate that I'm not quite sure what was wrong on our end to not getting a clean copy, by not being able to, get a copy that you could read in. Anyway, so that's that. If that's fine. I don't want to, you know, you can take a 5-minute break before your next.
I would say not so fast. I think what Mike has done with the other hackathon group, the ontology of ontology evaluation, actually is the next piece that you really need. I mean, between the panel we've put together, I think we should ask Mike to show, at least point the group here to some of the work in progress from the ontology of ontology evaluation. I think putting together the Ken's use case ontology with Mike's ontology of ontology evaluation and some choreography, I mean, you generally have maybe 80-90% of the framework. So maybe Mike, you can point us to some of the work
on the ontology
evaluation.
Interesting thought. Let me find the link and then post it. I personally have one. Let's see.
And so I'm referring to the HC05 project that's championed by Amanda Weisbaum, Ali Hashemi, and of course Mike is there in the team. Mike has implemented the OWL ontology.
Peter, I'm just trying to understand. You're asking us to look at another on the ontology of ontologies?
Ontology of ontology evaluation.
Okay, do you want to just post the link?
Mike is doing it.
I'll post the link, yeah. So you were saying combining kind of UCDO. I was just going to add this to the preface as well. Let's see. The ontology of, was there something else besides the ontology of ontology evaluation?
No, that's it.
Ah, okay.
I can paste their homepage.
Oh, I'll go ahead and do that. I'll post this anyway. And then,
I'll let you post the rest.
Yeah, so this is actually the URL for the work that we did just last weekend. Boy, it seems like it's been longer than that ago. But we had said that for the hackathon itself, we focused really on developing the conceptual models, essentially as graphs. This was my initial start at encoding those in OWL2 using Turtle as a serialization format.
Okay.
So, in particular, there's a number of ontology characteristics, particularly the more detailed ones from Aquare that might be helpful.
Yeah, I had looked at that a while ago. And actually, it was before my funding, and I just couldn't get to it. But I was talking with Waldo and Robert Stevens about incorporating this into the Jeff framework. So this is great. So it's good that this is encoded already. So now I understand why you brought this up, and that's to point us to this in terms of when we're fleshing out the framework. That this is a whole bunch of characteristics in the UC evaluation.
Yeah, one thing that is still in flux somewhat is kind of the question of whether the ontology characteristics are classes versus instances. And right now we've got a little bit of both of those, so I want to clean that up, but I think you'll get certain of the gist of it from this.
So what was the resolution? Was it classes or instances?
Not completely resolved. I think that there are benefits to making, and we didn't really discuss it, unfortunately, on the telecon, but I think there are benefits to making it from classes, primarily so you can actually then have characteristic specific values. So it's not so much an interest, a issue for the binary characteristics, but for something that actually has an attribute value, like the representation language that's being used, you really would like to be able to enumerate those, values formally, and so forth. And there could certainly be numeric values and things like that as well. One of the properties that Aquare looked at is runtime. And, presumably that's actually, amount of time in seconds or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been if I had to sort of just call it one way or the other, I would have said classes.
Right. Well, to some extent, and definitely there's some hierarchy here, and of course only the classes give you hierarchy. And, to some extent, once you ground out to instances, you're stuck. And, in them classes, you can, I won't say you can't go wrong, but it's probably, it's the more conservative approach. So the one thing that we need to reflect is
it's also more flexible.
Right, Right. Yeah. So the one thing in particular we need to go back to is, you know, we have a number of things that actually reference different ontology characteristics. And, you know, we can use punning to just refer to the class name, which is fine. But we actually have restrictions that you'd like to say what you're pointing at. And you're not actually pointing at a ontology characteristic now. You're referring to a class that's a subclass of ontology characteristic. And as far as I know, even L2 doesn't have a great way of saying that. So, I mean, you can kind of say you're referring to an L class and kind of put the comments that it's a subclass of ontology characteristic. I know, does anybody else know a trick for doing that?
That last part was
what? Oh, does anyone know a trick for actually specifying it to be, you know, that you refer, that you're using punning to refer to a subclass of a different class?
I don't know offhand, but I haven't been digging at that level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that the Java, I mean, it's a little different, but Java has a very fancy way of kind of doing that that is actually fairly helpful for class clarification.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something for all three.
Yeah, right. Could be. I haven't actually been following that either.
I don't think anybody's been following that yet, other than possibly Owlette. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I also have taken a step back from. But I've picked up some other things. So that's really very helpful, actually, because this can go into the framework. What I was talking about, having a library of different metrics, this is the kind of thing that I'm really referring to.
Right. The other thing that might be helpful here, and you probably have examples, I'm sure you have examples of it at PwC as well, but is the, partly we developed all these conceptual diagrams. So the, you know, the modularity here is based on, you know, specific diagrams, basically, partly to keep things, more manageable. And, but the one called evaluation here is basically the top level that includes all of the other modules. So, you know, it's an example of how to do that. And in the past, I've had some fits with Protégé 4, but the latest release actually handled this beautifully. I was really impressed.
Which one is it?
So if you look at evaluation, that's essentially the top level ontology that imports all the others.
Okay.
And, I was just saying that Protégé 4.2, the official release version, actually handled this beautifully.
Which
hasn't always been the case. So.
Yeah. It had to go for a while.
Probably. I mean, there's a couple tricks that I use that I think basically the OAPI doesn't handle. So I actually like using open bracket, square bracket to refer to the current document. And it still basically has fits with that. But if you make the URI explicit here, it worked well.
So, this is good. Because we can then import various things in the Jeff framework too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mike.
And the other thing that I hadn't actually particularly remembered, although it's probably been in Protégé 4 for a while, but it was really very helpful in this. So, you know, there are some duplicate classes, you know, between the different diagrams. I mean, things like ontology and ontology characteristics show up in a bunch of them, which you'd expect. So, I mean, they all use the same namespace. But Protégé 4 has this nice ability where, you know, if you turn on the reasoner, basically it will boldface things that actually have, you know, if you will, are defined to be all classes or object properties or data properties, and will gray out or have a, you know, a slightly more grayed out visualization for classes that are just mentioned elsewhere. So, you know, if you just look at the subclass, you know, A is a subclass of B, you know, both of those would be grayed out, for instance, if you hadn't defined A and B as classes.
Okay.
which in a way you can infer them because of the subclass, but it's a good check to make sure, you know, that for typos and things like that.
Okay. Sounds good. This is awesome. I'm glad we did this.
Oh, okay. It was interesting. Most of the folks in our hackathon group were FOL people. And, you know, I'm looking forward to actually seeing a common logic, you know, version of this as well. But, you know, for my purposes, I really wanted to have an L version, so I kind of volunteered to go ahead and just do it.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts before you go, and in terms of next steps, or I think some of the next steps are pretty obvious, but I'm just thinking if there's anything that hasn't been said yet, that you might want to say, or Peter.
I just want to comment. You know, I think you've got both projects are cool. I mean, I think we need as many tools as we can get for ontology evaluation, and you know, the iChoose use case is I think a really interesting application as well. So, you know, I applaud you guys for pursuing both of those.
Yeah, I've been enjoying being able to bring them together. It was a nice serendipitous. That coupled with our, you know, that little diagram, the development methodology that we use at our PI. So it's been fun for me to just like watch the silos in my brain melt down and things.
That's
so this was just great. So thanks to your expertise. I think we're out of you guys. The time is up, right? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I have one more suggestion. If you
yes, please, Peter.
Yes, going back to what Nick posted at the beginning, 0.25 on the objective. You wanted to make connections. Now you know all of us, and hopefully we could collaborate in the future. And the two things on the development of the generalized ontology evaluation framework, and I think the use case description ontology would be helpful, the subrest would be helpful, the ontology of ontology evaluation would be helpful. So maybe I'll say a couple of things on the ontology of sustainable certification system. Looks like that's a lot of domain expertise and existing standards that needs to be ontologized. So at this juncture, I think one of my suggestion would be maybe for your group to get engaged in an ongoing effort called ontology-based standards. This actually started back in 2009. In 2008 ontology summit. In 2009, there was a ontology-based standards initiative, which spun off projects like QOMOS and so on. It sort of went mothballed for a while, but it's reactivating. Late last year, there were a couple of sessions, and I think it's getting a lot more attention. IAOA has a special technical committee devoted to it. OMG, OASIS, and Ontolog, and I think opened up by NIST also, encouraged by NIST also, has been working on this, and in particular, Pat Hayes and I are working on resuming the work of QOMOS. So I think that probably has some bearing to the type of work you want to do there. And in particular, Ken Bukowski has been extremely active, being as I mentioned earlier, being the co-chair of the ICOM standard, I think the old data, open data, Oasis standard and other things, CAN has developed tools that would translate between written standard and put them into OWL and RDF, which I think you guys will be thrilled. So try to engage him there in particular, but try to engage in the ontology-based standards initiative, which I guess if you stay, keep your ears open to ontolog announcements, you see more of that when the ontology summit is through. Of course, everybody is focused in the ontology summit and we do very little other things for now, but maybe in another month, these will get back to be very active. So, those will be interesting.
That's very interesting. Could you put a link to anything that we can then come back to?
Okay.
In this event.
Let me try. You one.
They would not link, but just, Is there a link to that initiative?
Try again.
Is there a link to the Ontology Based Standards Initiative to re-engage or to get
on the chat now.
Yes, thank you. Welcome, Peter. This is wonderful.
So I hope the panel has been helpful.
Yes. Yes, very helpful. Now we have even more work in the same number of bodies. No, we now can reach out further. So this is great.
Yeah, if Michelle had joined, then you have your Sadie component as well,
right,
on the panel. It's unfortunate.
Right.
I mean,
yes,
we did include him, and we don't know the other Sadie people.
All right.
So we better quit and adjourn now. I'll have to pull the conference bridge. I guess you guys are face to face, so you're doing well. And
yes.
We will. I will shut down the conference bridge now and leave you guys to working face to face. Good luck.
Thank you. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.